Welcome you this morning too. So glad that you are here at Salem. If I haven't had a chance to meet you, my name is Jonna Fonts, and I'm the pastor of worship and community life here. It's just a delight. I have to tell you, I did have to do a big wardrobe change this morning. I was all ready for sleeveless, and then north wind settled in, so time to get out the winter coat. But summer's coming back. I've heard it's rumored Monday it's all going to be here again. So. But just glad you're here with us, and you're here with us now in the final week of a series we've been doing for about 4 weeks called Mission Possible. And what we've been talking about essentially is God's plan to save the world. And God's plan to save the world is that you and I would invite people into relationship with Jesus Christ. That's a plan right there. You and I sharing what God is doing in our lives. Now, as I said, the way that you may do that is a lot of different ways. You might share stories of what's happening in your life. You might serve people. You might invite them to church. You might get involved in some social justice causes because God loves justice. Or there might be a dozen other things that you do. But it's us, right? This is it. There's no plan B. It's us, right? And I tell you, the series has been really good for me, very inspiring. And I've been praying that we would begin to have stories in our community of people who make that first-time commitment to Jesus because of our witness, because of some way that we've shared. I think that would be really, really exciting. But today, as we finish this series, and I read our passage for today, I could not help but think about the French Meadow Bakery. See, my spiritual father figure through most of my ministry was a man named John Ackerman. He'd been a Presbyterian pastor his whole life for many years. We always met at the French Meadow for some really healthy, tasty food and a little hangout with hipsters. Meeting with John was really important. He was very loving. He really cared about me. He was invested in my flourishing. He was very wise. He had done his inner work, and he truly understood the twin journeys of being a pastor and being a human being. And he was very direct. There was no coddling. He's from the East Coast, straight shooter. If John saw something that concerned him, he would address it immediately. And every conversation with John ended up having this tender part to it where I felt so affirmed and cared for, and he was very empathetic. And then parts that were really tough to hear, where he challenged me. But John's tough, tender talks have been mission critical to my life. In fact, I remember one time when I was going through a really hard time with one of my senior pastors, and I was processing with John the whole experience, and I was crying about how painful it was to work with this guy. And I remember John reached across the table, and he took my hand, and he said, "I'm so sorry, honey. He is disconnecting from God, and I hate that he's hurting you." And then he leaned back in his chair, and he said, "But let me just tell you, leadership in the church is like this. Expect that every call you have will involve suffering. You are learning to stand up in the midst of pain and do the right thing. No self-pity allowed. Self-pity is more your enemy than any badly behaving leader." And he was dead right. Whenever I hit suffering, self-pity is my trap. I can get mired in that. And he was also right about ministry. It does involve suffering. It was a tough, tender talk that I've continued to understand and mine the truth from that talk. I think as we talk today about this exciting mission that God is calling us to, where the potential for life change, community change, and world change seems unlimited. I feel like it's time for one of those John Ackerman tough talks together. The call of evangelism, the call to share your faith with others, the call to invite others into transforming connection with Jesus Christ, no doubt about it, that is a tough call. And there are that's the reason why so many of us just don't do it. I mean, many of us can name Bible studies we've been in this year, prayers we've prayed, acts of service that we've done, money we've given, but many of us haven't done any part of evangelism this year. Actually, inviting people to church who don't know Jesus, or starting a spiritual conversation with someone just to find out where they're at, or even sometimes just having a friendship that's deeper with someone who is not a Christian, just is not on our to-do list. I think many of us are afraid to offend people. Many of us just don't feel confident that we'll know what to say. So we dive into all the other parts of following Jesus with gusto. And we kind of leave this one for someone else to do. We aren't lazy or defiant. Evangelism is just hard. And it feels easy to screw up. And Jesus understood that. In fact, in today's text, which is in Matthew 10, and I invite you right now, I'm going to be in and out of the text today, and sometimes I'll just be quoting a verse without the words. So it'd be really great. If you have a Bible with you, go ahead and open that up, or if you've got it on your phone, a Bible app, flip to that. We'll be in Matthew 10, verses 24 to 39 today. This text is a tough, tender talk that Jesus had with his band of followers, just as he was sending them out to do exactly what he's sending us out to do. So, let's sit down together at the French Meadow with our spiritual father, Jesus. The food is going to be really, really healthy, and it's probably got kale in it. Feel his hand on your hand as he listens to you share about your reticence to talk about your faith with people and all the excuses why you just aren't on mission right now. And then I want to invite you to listen as he leans forward and with a loving intensity, he says in verse 24, "A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It's enough for the disciple to be like the teacher and the slave like the master. And if they've called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I've come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be the members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Whew. Tough, tender talk with Jesus. What I want to do, I want to sort through this very hard teaching of Jesus with you. And as I do that, I find three of these kind of tough, tender truths that Jesus is giving us to equip us for the mission of evangelism. So let's walk through these. Tough, tender truth number one. Jesus tells us to know what to expect. The tough part is there will be suffering ahead. Jesus suffered, so will we. He warns us that some people are going to assume the worst about us. We may be acting out of love and care, but others will see us as harming them. That's exactly what they did to Jesus. It's why they called him the Prince of Demons, right? The chief harmer. So we can expect the same treatment. He even warns us that sometimes suffering will come from the places where we least expect it. It could come from our closest family and friends. The people you think would know and understand could end up being the ones who oppose you the most. Jesus does not want us to be surprised. People resisted him and thought he was a threat. And sometimes that's how it's going to be for us too. In fact, Jesus is quoting in verses 35 and 36 there from the prophet Micah, which was written over 400 years before his time, about this suffering and this opposition. It seems that people who share God's truth have gotten in trouble for hundreds of years, and now probably for thousands. Verse 33, I think, can be especially difficult to read. Jesus says he has not come to bring peace, but a sword. Jesus is not literally talking about a sword here. He is not advocating war. But he is letting us know that sometimes when you share God's truth, there will be division because of him. When Jesus enters the picture, things change. And at that moment, your spiritual alignment becomes more important than even your blood connections. You need to trust Jesus more than you trust your family and friends. That's tough. Sharing the faith is not always going to go well. And in fact, it could lead to suffering and betrayal. I think it's a good reminder to us, Salem. As I gauge our community, get to know of people and kind of think about who we are as a group, I've come to believe that our weakness will not lie in being socially inappropriate and obnoxiously bold. I do know people who actually create suffering when they share the gospel because they are unloving and unaware of their arrogant and belittling treatment of others. And my sermon would sound different if I thought we were in that camp. But that isn't Salem's MO. We tend to be silent. We're nice. We don't want to offend people. We want to be pleasant and helpful. We don't want anyone to get upset. Our issue will tend to be that we just don't share the gospel at all. We won't even bring it up. And I think our call is to be bolder and to not fear a little suffering, to step out and tell people about what God is doing in our lives, to invite them to church and into spiritual conversations. And I have to say, that can be really scary. So here's the tender part of what to expect. We can expect that God sees each of us as precious. You are not human beings to be used for some higher purpose. You are precious. And he knows you intimately, down to the details. He's got your hair numbered, and yes, insert bald joke here. When you hurt, it matters to him. He is deeply aware of what is going on for you, and he is proud of you. Jesus says that when we talk about our faith with other people, we get bragged about in the throne room of heaven. When we share our faith with others, heaven's Twitter feed lights up and we are trending. There's a buzz about us out there. Jesus is constantly offering us, in big and small ways, chances to share about who Jesus is. And when we take advantage of those opportunities, we make headlines. And it would appear that when we let those opportunities pass us by, there is grief-filled silence. Someone who could have tasted the goodness of God didn't get to. I want you to know God sees, and he still considers you precious and valuable, whether you moved with his Spirit or not. But what you do truly matters to him. And what you do and do not do truly matters to us all. Do not be afraid. You are of great value. Keep sharing. Even if you miss an opportunity, pray for the person you should have interacted with and then move on, staying alert for the next opportunity. What to expect is that Jesus will provide opportunities for you to share who he is. Tough, tender truth number two. Trust the truth. In verses 26 to 28, Jesus reminds us that the truth will be revealed. Truth has this way of getting out. No matter how much people try to suppress it, when something is true, it will be revealed. Even if it's covered up in secret, even if it's whispered in the dark. So Jesus encourages us, trust the truth to do its work. We don't have to be the best at explaining the faith. Truth is going to get out. Just go with it. Don't try to suppress it or hide it. Let the truth come out of your mouth because it's going to get out anyway. The crucifixion, resurrection, and the coming of the Holy Spirit inaugurated the time for telling. It is our time for telling. We are called to be witnesses. We're called to tell what happened. What happened 2,000 years ago in Palestine and what is happening right now at Fifth Street. Truth wants to be told. It's burning to get out there and set people free. We can trust the truth to be better than any of our fumbling or inability. Let it out and let it do its work. The tough part of trusting the truth is that there is so much at stake. We know from verse 28 that we shouldn't fear opposition from people or our society, but that there is something that should make us tremble. And what makes us tremble is there's so much on the line. It could even make us a little obsessed. Verse 28 tells us that this is about hell and the destruction of people's souls. I'm reminded of the famous soccer manager, Bill Shankly, who almost single-handedly put Scotland's soccer teams on the world map. Once, when he was asked about his obsessive passion for football, which is what they call soccer in the rest of the world, he said, "Some people believe football is a matter of life and death. And I'm very disappointed with that attitude. I can assure you, it is much, much more important than that." Jesus says, why are you worried about life and death here? Something far greater than that is at risk. Eternity and souls of people being brought to life are at issue. We need to trust the truth and to go with its innate energy to be told, because life and death are just not the most important things to us. The final tough, tender truth is don't be afraid to let go. In that final verse, Jesus is calling us to let go. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Jesus is saying that when you share the gospel, whether you're using words or not, you are on mission with God. And when you are on mission with God, it can't be all about you. It has to be from a place much deeper and bigger than our lives, than our sense of our own comfort and well-being. We actually have to be concerned about a much larger picture. We have to let go for that. And this principle is well attested in all this leadership research that's being done right now. Over and over, research shows that good leaders who run companies to be great for the long term have to be in service to something larger than their own egos and their own well-being. Great leaders actually give themselves to something that's bigger than them. They don't care if their name gets out there. They don't care if it's about them. Great leaders let go for the good of the organization they lead. And that's how it is to share the gospel. It often can feel like you're kind of putting yourself on the line. We're sacrificing our own comfort for the sake of sharing God's truth with others. Jesus tells us that sometimes it will feel like we're losing our lives, maybe especially if it's rejected. But actually, we are gaining the best kind of life possible because we are on the most important mission that has ever started on this earth. The tough, tender truth about sharing our faith is that it can be really hard sometimes. But with so much at stake, with truth on our side, we can let go of our self-determined, quiet lives and join the mission of God. Do not be afraid, Salem Covenant Church. You are valuable, and you are meant to be part of the transformation of many. Let's pray. Lord God, we do want to thank you for this message that this conversation we've been having for a month. We thank you for picking us to share your story. We're in awe of that. Think that there might be people more qualified, but you picked us. Thank you that you value us, that you think we are so precious, that you know us, and that you know how hard this can be sometimes. Give us, Lord God, courage. Give us strength to step out into the truth of who you are and share that with other people. We trust you, Lord God, more than anything else. And Lord, we long to see lives transformed in the way that our lives have been changed. Here we are, Lord God, with whatever measure of courage we have. Send us out on this great mission and bring people to you. In your name we pray. Amen.